T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So 30 seconds isn't quite enough time to swap out studios, get the heck in here, get set up, change TV channels, figure out where the laptop went. It somehow grew legs and walked away. So what happens, because we all share studio, there's just one, and limited amount of equipment. So we all share the same studio, which means that things get moved around during the daytime, and it took me a good couple minutes to figure out where the laptop went to. At least it's not underneath the desk. That's been a popular place for this computer in the past. Don't ask me why. So we're good now, I think. Is this on? It is. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Happy almost Friday. The games have literally just wrapped up in the last couple minutes. And boy, do we have some great storylines from the first full day of March Madness. I could ask you how your brackets look, but it's more fun when they've got red X's or red marks. When they look like a bloodbath, if you will. I know right now that seems to be a bit of a buzzword around the United States of America, but don't read anything into it. It was the first full day when your brackets are finally under the white hot spotlight. So hope that you did well and picked the right upsets, because that's the name of the game now. There will always be upsets in March Madness. The name of the game is picking the right ones. And I'm pretty sure this was the latest I'd ever finished my brackets. It was, oh gosh, you could tell by my tweet. I wasn't even in bed, obviously. Well, actually, I take that back. I was sitting up in bed with my laptop on my lap, because isn't that what a laptop is for? And so it was on my lap, and I was filling out my After Hours bracket. So I waited until about 9:30 Eastern time, 2.5 hours before we actually saw the games commence. 2.5 hours before brackets closed. And I'm sure you're not surprised. I haven't yet filled out my women's bracket, but I will. It'll be sometime during this show. If you haven't yet joined our first ever women's bracket challenge, we would love to have you, since we're all starting in the same place. Might as well pitch in and see if we can grow this thing. So the link is pinned to the top of our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or it's on our Facebook page. Now, it's not pinned to the top. I actually will go and swap that out. I know the men's bracket link was pinned to the top, but the women's, you'd have to scroll down on the page. Either way, I'll find it for you. Make sure we post it up toward the top so that you can readily access it. You can readily access it. And we're just getting started in the madness. so excited about what's to come this weekend. And I'll just be honest, I'm so excited it's the weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook. Again, great to have you with us. Hope you enjoyed the day. If you were somehow coming down with a cold or respiratory illness, or I don't know, maybe you had a migraine and you didn't feel like you could go into the office. Right. You weren't breathing well. Something was wrong. Good news. The basketball was able to keep you company and I'm sure lift your spirits. And oh, yes. There were double-digit seeds advancing everywhere, everywhere. So which ones did you pick correctly? That's what I need to know. Did you have Oregon over South Carolina? Did you have one player scoring 40? I bet you did. That seems like a pretty standard outcome this time of the year. A player that most people have never heard of goes off for 40. Really cool. You'll hear from Jermaine Cousinard coming up. So Oregon as an 11 seed advances. Or how about Duquesne, whose coach has announced he's retiring whenever this season is done, and yet somehow his team is not down with that. So Duquesne taking out BYU. Another 11 seed. So the 11 seeds were living charmed lives. You know who weren't living charmed lives? The 10 seeds. There were two of them on Thursday who had their opponents on the ropes and couldn't close out. Drake led Washington State by double figures in the second half, but gradually got reeled in and gave up that lead. So the 7 seed, Washington State, moves on. And then another 10 seed that for all the world looked like it was going to advance to the second round. Maybe the Wolfpack of Nevada started celebrating a little bit too early. Seemed a classic case of just got comfortable. Maybe took their foot off the gas a tad. But after being up, again, nearly 20 points in the second half, the Dayton Flyers steadily chipped away, and then came back and won in the late stages. So we almost had two more double-digit seeds that advanced on Thursday. We had some of the big dogs as well make quick work of their opponents, even if it was close in the early stages, pulling away for a large margin of victory. Teams like, well, Tennessee St. Peter's was never close, so don't put that one in the same category. St. Peter's looked overwhelmed and didn't have a whole lot of juice. So number 2, Tennessee, and number 3, Creighton, advance out of the Midwest. And Kansas, who got quite a fight from Samford. Again, another team that had a huge lead that allowed their opponent to get back in. If I remember correctly, the Jayhawks were up 22 in the second half. And Samford continued to put on the pressure. But both Kansas and Gonzaga as the 5 seed advance in the Midwest. Kansas being just the last winner of the night a couple hours ago. Actually, 1 hour ago, because I was still listening. I was sitting in my car. I'd already parked, but I didn't want to get out because the game was still hanging in the balance. In the South region, 2 double-figure seeds advance. We'll get to that one coming up. In the West region, we had Arizona pull away from Long Beach State. A coach, by the way, who had been previously notified he was losing his job as soon as the team was done playing. Now it's official. But they ended up winning the conference championship after finding out the coach would get fired. North Carolina downed Wagner as a 1 seed. Iowa State, no trouble with the Jackrabbits of South Dakota State. Illinois got a battle from Morehead State, but ultimately pulled away. And we'll see the other 3 number 1 seeds in action coming up on Friday. So Purdue, UConn, Houston all have yet to get on the court. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know how many of you had Kentucky into your Final Four or into your championship game, producer Jay, not naming any names. Did you fill out more than one bracket or just the After Hours bracket challenge?
Two brackets.
Did you have Kentucky in both of them?
So you know how yesterday I said I don't change my brackets ever. I usually just keep the same ones. I can't believe this, but I literally had the exact same ones, except in one bracket I had Purdue beating Kentucky to go to the championship, and the other one I had Kentucky beating Purdue. So, yeah, I mean, one of them I'm you know, probably out, but the other one I'm still alive.
No, you're not out. You're not out yet.
Not out.
Depending on what else happens, you never know. You can always rally. But, yeah, it is tough when you have teams that are knocked out in the first round and you've picked them to go deep. If it makes you feel any better, a few years ago I had Michigan State picked to win the championship, and the Spartans lost in their first game, which, of course, meant that, similar to you, I was just in a pickle.
It's and such a damper on the day.
It is. It's a damper when you feel like you're done so early. Mm-hmm. Unless it happens to be a popular pick that a lot of people probably made, in which case you never know. If that kind of equals out and everybody has that, then all right.
Kind of resets the playing field.
It does. So, yes, Kentucky being the highest seed to get upset on Thursday. And even when you know that the Wildcats are 1-3 in their last four tournament games, 1-3 in their last few years on this stage, and even though you know John Calipari makes his living recruiting incredibly talented freshmen who are prone to a lot of mistakes. Freshman giveth and they take it away. It's like rookies in the NFL. Even though you know this, it's still hard to stay away from picking them, right? Because the Wildcats are usually big and athletic and strong, and they definitely are all of those things. But ran into an Oakland team that refuses to identify itself as a Cinderella or an underdog.
As a player, you can't think that way. You got to go out there and you got to think that you have the same talent level as them. I know they have draft picks, and I know I'm not going to the NBA, but I know on any given night I can compete with those type of guys, and our team can compete with those type of guys. And that's why I was so confident going into it, and that's why I say we're not a Cinderella, because when we play our A game, we can be the best team on the floor.
Get it to Townsend, head of the circle. Got it to Golkey. Turn around, three-pointer. Shot no good. But the rebound comes down. Oakland covers it. Golkey got it back. He wants another three. That one is good. Golkey did it again. 10 made three-pointers. Watts slowly dribbling in front of his own bench. Crossover with the dribble. Not once, but twice. Now drives. Kicks to the corner. Cole a three. Got it from the left side. Three-pointer for DQ Cole. It's 78-74. Oakland on top. Kentucky takes a timeout. This is it as Kentucky inbounds. They get it in. The throw to the front. Reeves, three-point jumper. No good. Golkey down with the rebound. Maybe now they know where Oakland is. There are the history books. An 80-76 upset victory over Kentucky.
He is a name that maybe you've never heard before, and yet Jack Golkey just made history. He's a graduate transfer from a small commuter school in Division II. He spent 5 years there and got the extra year because of the COVID rule that was applied to college sports. He transferred to Oakland and just came off the bench for a career-high 32 points on 10 made triples. Powers the Golden Grizzlies to the type of upset that characterizes March Madness. This is it. 80-76, as you hear on the Westwood One NCAA radio network, Golden Grizzlies over the Wildcats. It even sounds funny to say it. And how about this? He comes off the bench to lead the Grizz.
We weren't trying to talk anything disrespectful at all during the week. We were just trying to say that, that we believed we belonged here as well. And like you said, we proved it, and we've been a solid team all year. We've won close games, like Coach said, and we just believe in each other as teammates, that we're always going to make the next play because things are going to go wrong, but we know we're going to make the next one.
The three-point shooting was critical, obviously, not just for Golke, but for DQ Cole, who had the triple with about 30 seconds to go in this game that was so huge. And Kentucky did get hot and was able to answer and even come all the way back to within one a couple times. Man, this one was stressful, whether you were a fan of Oakland or whether you were a Wildcats fan who could see the writing on the wall, so to speak. That was the part that I'm sure gave Wildcat fans the pit in their stomach, is, oh man, we've been here before. But this is what happens when you're talking about freshmen who haven't been on this stage before. Overall, the Grizz shoot 15 of 31 from beyond the arc. So had a huge advantage when it came to threes. Kentucky made just 9 of them of their 28. Now, the downside for Oakland is there were a lot of missed free throws. Otherwise, this one isn't nearly as close. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. John Calipari, as you can imagine, shocked for the Kentucky Wildcats to be out in round one.
We made some critical mistakes at critical times again today. I mean, we had our chances. As good as they played and as many shots as they made, we still had our chances, and both on defense and offense. And when you have a really young team and you look at where did the mistakes come from, they were freshmen.
I'm just kind of numb right now, and I'm sure it'll hit me, but this one hurts a lot. You know, it hurts. It's obviously not the desired outcome, and now you're on the headlines of a Cinderella story when you know that we had the potential to make a really deep run in this thing.
Ah, it's not as though I enjoy the misery of the players that go to power schools. I really don't. We love March Madness for this reason, right? Because of the unpredictability, because there are so many tense moments, so many of these surprises that keep us on the edge of our seats or that bust our brackets. Either way, that's the beauty of this event, is that regardless of how many NBA draft picks, how many games were won, regardless of how high the pedigree of one roster over another on paper, they're all essentially starting fresh. They're all starting in the same spot. They all have to earn their way to the Final Four. And that's why it's so amazing. It's why analytics will only ever be a tool. They won't ever measure heart or clutch genes. They can't measure how a player or a human responds to the kind of pressure they've never felt before. They can't measure if a shooter gets intimidated when he misses a couple, or what it feels like when he gets hot. I mean, the kind of shots that Jack Golke was making, it's coming around screens and firing away on one leg. He didn't have to be set. He didn't even have to face the basket. He was locked in. And it just happens to be in the most high profile, maybe important game of his entire life. Pretty incredible. This is what March Madness is all about. Of course, it sucks for Kentucky. And it's hard to see John Calipari's face when he talks about yet another ouster in the first round.
This one hurt because they are the kind of team you love coaching. And, you know, I wanted them to advance because of all that they've been through. And I wanted them to have a chance to relish and cherish this event. I've been through it 20 some times. My teams have done really well. We've lost a couple of these now. But them, this is their time. We're better than we played, but you got to give Oakland credit.
Trey Mitchell, who you heard say he can't even comprehend this loss, he's a senior. That's fairly rare for one of the power schools. A senior in the starting lineup who ends up with a double-double, 14 points, 13 rebounds. But according to Coach Cal, maybe his team wasn't prepared or wasn't ready the way they should have been.
I thought they were anxious. And when you're anxious, you get really tired really fast. Mm-hmm. So we had a couple guys that started the game and were exhausted within a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Coach Calipari also kind of hinted at, we may need to take a look at, and by we, he means just Kentucky, may need to take a look at how we build our programs and whether or not they can constantly recruit these high-profile blue-chip freshmen because of how young the teams are when they get to this stage. He says, I've done this with young teams my whole career, and it's going to be hard for me to change that because we've helped so many young people and their families that I don't see myself just saying, okay, we're not going to recruit freshmen. But he had 8 freshmen on his roster and 3 sophomores. Oakland, meanwhile, and this is what happens a lot with the smaller schools, they get to this point because they've got guys, or women too, who have played through their college careers. What did I say about Golkey? I mean, he looks like he's 25 years old. And so there's something to be said for, you know, a man, at that point, you are a man, right? A man who's got more life experience, more basketball experience, and is 7-8 years older than some of these other young men. 5 of the Grizzlies players, either seniors or grad transfers. There's a lot of experience there, even if it doesn't come at Kentucky. Maybe you're used to playing together too. And so it is really the plight of some of the power schools. You have the ability to recruit these incredibly talented high school players, and you get your choice of blue chippers, and you can have your pick of the litter, so to speak, but freshmen are freshmen. They're babies. No matter how many games they played, until you have tournament experience sometimes, it's hard to know how they'll react and how they'll play. How are your brackets? I like to ask, just so you know I care. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too. We got a couple of treats for you, plus an update on the Ohtani scandal. I blame the Ohtani scandal for why my brackets weren't done until right before we had the games tip off. Happy almost Friday. Happy March Madness. It's After Hours.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
13 to shoot. Robinson in the corner. Fakes the three. Runs it inside. English off the glass for 2. And it's 52-49. Cougars within 3.
Feeding to Hall. Hall. Trying to dump it to Traore. Ball tipped away into the corner. Ends up with Saunders of BYU. He'll feed it to Traore underneath. One hand flush. We're tied at 60. The first tie of the game with 1:40 to go. 11 to shoot. DeMichael will back it out with 10 to shoot. Now 9 to shoot. Clark near the half court line with 5 to shoot. Working the dribble. Clark drives down the lane. Left-handed layup is good. Trey Clark with a big deuce. And it's 65-60. Duquesne by five.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is our friend Kevin Kugler on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, fellow Star Wars nerd, and he's so proud of it. Duquesne is one of these great stories, a lot like NC State, who we'll talk about coming up. Four wins in 4 days in the Atlantic 10 tournament. They win the automatic bid by winning the conference tourney, and they qualify for March Madness for the first time in 47 years. And there they are in a battle with the number 6 BYU Cougars. So this was one of those games that maybe is a toss-up, right? The seeds are relatively close. We're not talking about 3-14. Still, though, for a school that hasn't had a win in the NCAA tournament since the late 60s, and a team whose coach has already announced he's retiring whenever this season is done, well, that's pretty impressive.
4.3 seconds to go. Duquesne up 71-67. Hall, half-court heave. No good. Out of bounds. Duquesne can do. 71-67. Their first NCAA tournament win since 1969. As they knock off BYU 71-67.
The only thing they beat us with was one-on-one and at the three-line some, but they didn't get any easy ones. We made them work for everything they got, and it's just a tribute to our guys. It's a tribute to our league. You know, teams like Davidson, VCU, Richmond kind of prepared us for this because they do a lot of similar things, and the great coaches in our league got us prepared for this game.
Speaking of great coaches, Keith Dambrot has announced he will retire when this season is done, but his team runs the table in the A-10 and now advances with this victory over the number 6 seed. So one of the double-figure seeds to survive. Did you have Duquesne in your bracket? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. BYU actually roared all the way back, down double figures in the second half, came back to tie, but ultimately fell short.
It's devastating because we lost. It's devastating because we won't move on, and mostly it's devastating because we don't get to, you know, get in the gym together again.
That's hard, too. It comes to such an abrupt end. It's over when you run into this brick wall. And the realization, because all of your focus has been about forward, 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 winning a conference tournament, selection show, finding out your opponent, practicing, traveling, the media, the excitement, the big stage, and then boom. You've got the thrill of victory on one side, but the agony of defeat and the finality of it on the other side. And so Duquesne, first NCAA tournament win in a couple generations. 11 seed moves on to play Illinois coming up on Saturday. That's in the East region. And actually, in the East, still so much yet to come on Friday. The only other matchup in the East, Iowa State and Washington State, has already been determined after, man, the Drake Bulldogs, they had a lead. They just couldn't keep it. And so we saw a bunch of that, right? It's something that I associate more with the NBA, where no lead is seemingly safe, especially in the fourth quarter. A 20-point lead can be erased, boom, like that. But here you're talking about young people. You're talking about kids. And so Drake against Washington State had that seesaw effect to it. Had the same thing with Nevada, up nearly 20 points in the second half, only to see Dayton come roaring back. And so we'll get to some of those wild affairs straight ahead. Plus, other than Kentucky, all the top seeds advancing. UNC making quick work of its opening round game. Tennessee as well. Arizona. It's all about picking the right upsets. I'm not even sure I want to check the bracket. I was perfect through the first round of games. So was producer Jay. But then, of course, Kentucky upsetting the apple cart, so to speak. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, I'd love to hear from you. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you haven't checked out our latest video on YouTube, it's the video version of Ask Amy, which I know is one of your favorite features. Mine too now, going back for more than 10 years. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. Really excited. Top of the hour, USC women's basketball coach Lindsey Gottlieb. She has a freshman All-America on her team, Juju Watkins. If you don't know the name or the smile or the game, you will. She's a teenager, and she is tearing it up in what is the final year of the Pac-12 as we know it. Second leading scorer in the nation behind only Caitlin Clark. And in large part due to Juju, although it is a team sport, but Juju powering the USC Trojans back to prominence. You remember, maybe, if you're my age, Cheryl Miller, Tina Thompson, a couple of national championships for the USC women. Well, they've gone through a bit of the wilderness, quite a sojourn from those days until Lindsey Gottlieb arrived on the scene. Now, for those of you who don't know where you can place that name, she was an assistant coach with the Cleveland Cavaliers of the NBA for several seasons before she took the job at USC. And I think that was in 2021. So she's been there several years now. But her background is in the Pac-12. She coached there at Cal. And before that was in California at UC Santa Barbara. Amazing coach who's got a really rich resume. And also a great team who's a top seed in this upcoming tournament, but hasn't made the Final Four since 1994. There's a lot there. Lindsey Gottlieb at the top of the hour.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Horn drives into trouble in traffic, throws back to the top for O'Connell. Now inside, Middlebrooks, position, shot, oh, good. What a night for Ben Middlebrooks. 18 points, a career high.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The NC State Wolfpack aren't done yet. A game against Texas Tech that was relatively close. But man, I wonder if part of what we're seeing from NC State now is just this incredible momentum. And I know momentum is fleeting in sports. That's always the case. But think about the confidence that NC State has, knowing that they were able to run the table 5 wins in 5 days at the ACC tournament, which is one of the toughest conferences in the country, taking out the likes of top seed North Carolina. And now you get to the NCAA tournament, and you're talking about teams that are unfamiliar with you. Maybe they've scouted you, maybe even seen you in person, depending upon where you might have crossed paths. But for the most part, you're finally out of your conference where there's so much familiarity. And I think that can be a huge advantage for good teams once you get into these mixed conference tournaments. Yet another player coming off the bench with a huge performance on Thursday. Ben Middlebrooks takes no threes. Well, that's rare. He goes 6 of 8 from the floor, 9 of 10 from the charity stripe. So you can't hack a Ben in this particular case. And now here they are. A team that would not have been in the NCAA tournament if not for clinching the automatic bid on the ACC. A double-figure win over Texas Tech. Another 11 seed that gets by a 6. It's interesting, too, because I wondered whether or not they'd be tired. I mean, they've had a few days off, but all the emotional energy they had to expend to get through the ACC, if I remember correctly, there were a couple of games that were really tight at the end. And so You've got a North Carolina State that understandably could be fatigued. But I didn't see that. I did see that with a couple of other teams, including Colorado State, that came out of the first four. They looked really worn out. But not the case with NC State. In fact, Middlebrook said, actually, we feel stronger every game that we play now.
We've heard a lot about fatigue, I mean, through our ACC tournament run, and then even now, and I mean, no matter how many times people keep saying it, I mean, it seems like we just keep getting stronger with every game we play, so try and keep that going.
This is the kind of wave, the kind of momentum that you can only dream about as an athlete, right? Or as a coach for Kevin Keats. Pretty incredible. He was on the hot seat. I wonder if that's the case anymore.
You got transfers. I don't think people think it's supposed to happen right away. You know, we lost 34 points from our guards, and it took us a little time just to get clicking on both ends of the floor and understanding scouting reports. Like, that's the one thing from the ACC tournament and here we've really understood. We thought we had an advantage throwing the ball inside, and it worked out. We got 49 points. I think it's 49 from our post play. And that was because we were very aggressive and guys understanding. So are we going to make some mistakes? Yes, but we're going to limit our mistakes.
So he talks about kind of the transition from a year ago when they lost a bunch of points in their backcourt with transfers and all that jazz, graduations. So then he brings in some new guys, and he said it's not a snap your fingers and everything's perfect. Nah, instead it takes some time when you're constantly changing rosters. And what do I tell you about in the NFL or other pro sports? When you change a lot, it means sometimes you're going to have to start at the bottom and work your way up. So he said it took a little time for us to find that rhythm and that groove on both ends of the court. So at the end of the regular season, they lose four in a row, and now they've won six straight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I know better than to look at my bracket at this point. I'm just going to leave it and go with the live bracket. NC State will take on Oakland. Of course, the Grizz upset Kentucky. That game from the South region, and weirdly enough, it's the only game that was played in the South. Well, two games that were played in the South region. One matchup that we have set for the South in the second round. But we know in the Midwest, we ended up with 1-11 seed, but then 3, 4, and 5. And that includes Gonzaga. Now, there are some people that thought Gonzaga was maybe overseeded, shouldn't have been a 5. But Mark Few and the Zags, they've been in this tournament, what is it now, 24 years in a row? My goodness, that consistency counts for something. And even though they didn't have a great regular season, not a lot of good non-conference matchups, he still thinks they deserve more respect than what they got, where apparently in their arena during the game against McNeese State, you had the Oakland Kentucky game being shown on the big screen. Wait a minute. So the game that's on the court there, now understandably it was a blowout, but the game that's actually playing in the arena, the two teams that are on the court are not the ones being shown on the big screen. Instead, you've got a completely different game that's airing. What?
I guess it's protocol, but you know, we don't need that. You know, it's the NCAA tournament. These kids are involved, and, you know, it's the biggest game of their lives. Those officials, you know, it's a big moment for them. Everybody just needs to enjoy the game at hand. It doesn't need to be like the Few House where we're flipping channels every, you know, 15 seconds and not watching the, you know, show we're supposed to be watching. So, I mean, I really think that needs to change. It was impacting the game. And again, I mean, the McNeese people were there to watch McNeese. Gonzaga people were there to watch Gonzaga. And that, I mean, it's the NCAA tournament. You know, if you can't get entertained, then get out and let's get somebody else in your seat. Plain and simple.
Mark Few, he's salty. And he should be. He's been around a long time. And that is kind of a weird practice that they use at the NCAA tournament. I can understand why you wouldn't want your players to be looking up at a big screen and there's a different game that's playing up there, but also the fans, right? There's some fans that can't see real well or want to see replays, and instead they're watching a different game, which, by the way, is re-airing on CBS Sports Network
Get
at
out.
This current moment, just get out and watch it on TV. Hey, Antoine Watson, we know him. He was a guest on our show last year.
What up?
He was on Selection Sunday Night, was part of After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, and he had a huge game. In fact, helped power the Zags to a 16-2 run that really put this game out of reach. I think it was late first half, but 13 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists, so just shy of a triple-double for Watson.
Gonzaga, when we're in the tournament, we win games. So, yeah, I think we just came out prepared today and super confident. And, you know, we knew we were going to win this game. So it felt good to get that dub.
They were also well rested. They looked like they had fresh legs. They made a bunch of threes early. So, yeah, to see our friend Anton Watson was pretty cool. 855-212-4227. Jason is in Pittsburgh. Jason, welcome to After Hours.
Well, thank you for having me. Love the show.
Thank you.
I had to call and just explain how this is the best time of the year, especially here in Pittsburgh. We got to witness Oakland take down Kentucky when technically Duquesne is listed as the host team here. And then Duquesne goes ahead and wins their game, as all of us Pitt fans have adopted them as our team to watch now. And it just goes to show you, like, a team like Oakland, you take veterans from a team that have been there against a team of young kids. And you can also have a team of...
Jason?
And it just shows the different options you have to build a team.
Right.
And on any given night, a team can go out there, shoot well, play good D, and win a game. So it's the best time of the year, undoubtedly.
What was it like inside the arena?
Insane. And what they also, while the Duquesne game was going on, they had a game up on the drawn. So we were able to watch that game. A few was complaining about.
Right, he definitely was. I'm so sorry, Jason. Your phone is kind of cutting out a little bit, but I hope you had a great time. It's cool that Pitt fans are adopting Duquesne, since Duquesne is a local university. That's awesome. I love it. And I can only imagine, he said inside the arena, it was insane. Now, it sounds like he was a fan who was okay with seeing another game on the big screen, but I can understand why coaches and maybe even players are not thrilled with that. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'd love to hear from you. If you haven't yet signed up for the After Hours Bracket Challenge on the women's side, you've got a few hours left. Oh, don't mind me. I haven't yet filled out that bracket either. Well, I did the men's brackets, but I waited until the last second because that's what I do. The women's link is pinned to the top of our Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also I just pinned it to the top of our Facebook page, so it's easy to find. Just go there. You can use the same email address that you used to get into the CBS Sports accounts in the past. That's how I did it, and I've had no trouble at least finding it online. I also left myself logged in here last night in the building, so I'm kind of nervous that someone went in and changed my picks. Lindsey Gottlieb of UFC is straight ahead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.